Wyman and Bob on 710 ESPN Seattle.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
Streaming live on the 710 Sports app and at 710sports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Dave Wyman and Bob Stelton.
Welcome, everybody. It's Wyman and Bob on 710 ESPN Seattle. This hour of Wyman and Bob is brought to you by Muckleshoot Casino. Let the counseling session begin. We are here for you. We're going to try to talk you off the ledge, make you feel better about things. It's a rough one. We're going to go through all of it. We got the Pete Carroll press conference coming up at 3 o'clock where the media will demand answers of the head coach. We'll see what he's got to say at 3 o'clock. John Clayton at 4. Michael Bumpus will join us at 4:30 for his weekly conversation. And then our player spotlight at 5 o'clock features Seahawks center Kyle Fuller. So he'll join us at 5 o'clock and we'll demand answers of him. I demand answers, Dave. What the hell happened?
Well, if we were in person with him, we wouldn't be demanding.
No, we would ask very politely, sir. Yeah, it seemed to go the wrong way in the second half. Far be it for me to accuse you of any wrongdoing here, but your teammates seem to have let you down.
Kyle Fuller, very thoughtful guy. I think people will like hearing from him. And, you know, maybe a little bit, you were saying this earlier, I think there's a fine line where sometimes you want to hear the guys grumble about it and be angry. Mm-hmm. And, you know, nowadays the sports psychology is much different. It's just, hey, it's one game, we've got to get past it. But I'll say this also, when you hear from the players and the coaches and stuff, they've already had their meetings. They've pretty much talked about it. They've talked about the mistakes. You know, we used to go out and on Mondays and we'd look at the film and then we would go what's called boil out, which was run 10 100s as hard as you want to.
You and your teammate that was smoking cigarettes and beating everybody.
Yeah, exactly. And
what was his name?
Oh, that was Simon Fletcher.
Yeah.
Yeah, we would do that on our own. That was when I was in Denver. Yeah, he was a smoker, and that guy like would run 10 100s and be breathing through his nose. I'm like, wow.
Everybody else is holding their weight.
Yeah.
Hang on, those, time out, time out.
Yeah, I was like, are those menthols you're smoking? but, yeah, you would do the – you run them as hard as you could, which I would run as fast as I could because it would get the soreness out.
Yeah.
And then you go out and you walk through all the plays that beat you. You know, and by the way, a lot of those plays would end up on our offense the next week because Chuck would copy him. But
right,
yeah, I mean that, and then you're done. You know, you go out on Monday night, and I know it's Monday now, but I mean, typically you will go out Monday night and with your buddies or do whatever because Tuesday's off. But you flushed it, so that's part of it. But I think there is some psychology that people want to see. You know, more anger after a loss because the fans are pent up and angry.
Oh, yeah, they are. They are. And you guys can text in 710-710 to the Mac and Jack's text line. If we were we do this all the time, the blame pie.
Mm-hmm.
Who gets the biggest slice of the blame pie? Because in this one, Dave, this my answer will surprise you. They're all complicit. Everybody's complicit. But if I was going to just give a slightly bigger slice, because I think it's certainly on the offense, it is most certainly on the defense, it is certainly on the coaching, the officiating. I mean, we can go up and down and include everybody. There wasn't just one. It was all inclusive. I'm leaning on the defense, man. Leaning on the defense. I know that the offense face planted in the second half. It's clear. There's no debate. They scored 6 points in the entire second half and overtime. They disappeared. They still put up 30 points. You should be able to win when you put up 30. Most of the time, I would say, if you ask Pete, you score 30 in this game, you like your chances? They're going to say, yeah. So you put up 30. The defense, to me, was getting lucky in the first half. They were getting by the skin of their teeth, it felt like, because they weren't getting themselves off the field after that first drive. You can look at it. I mean, even though they were holding them to field goals, there were some drop balls by those receivers. They were a 6 minute, 40 second drive, the second drive of the game for Tennessee, 6 minutes, 40 seconds. The next one 4:29. The next one is 4 minutes and 15 seconds. So they dominated the time of possession in the first half when they were trailing 24-9. And everybody's going, well, the offense went flat, so the defense got gas because the offense couldn't do anything. Well, some of that's true in the second half. But they were getting dominated in time of possession in the first half when the score was lopsided. And then the second half, it was just a continuation of what we had already seen. So I just didn't feel like the defense ever found a rhythm. I felt like they were getting a little bit lucky. Some of the officiating that was going on that worked in their favor, the drop passes. It just, I don't know how you felt about the overall defensive performance, but if I'm giving my biggest slice, and I'm not eliminating the offense, we'll get there, I'm putting it on the defense.
Yeah, I would go the other way. But you're right. It's everybody. Everyone was part of it, including special teams, because you missed an extra point.
Yeah,
and
ended up being big.
As good as Jason Myers has been, he hasn't missed a
field goal.
Only when he screws up. No, I mean, he hasn't missed a field goal in a year and a half. I mean, it's what, how many straight now? Like 38. They got the ball back in overtime. That's what we were going to see. But instead, we saw something that was like the New York Giant game last year, where just chucking it downfield, where were the dump-offs? How come you didn't target Disley? Disley, not a single target. You know, Carson, not a single target. Those two guys are both, to me, I think, top five players. You've got to get the ball into their hands. And I know some people might disagree with me on Disley, and not very many people disagree about Carson, but, you know, that to me was, and he was distributing it around. You know, Travis Homer had a couple of catches, I think, in that drive. He had two catches in the game. And, you know, and then, you know, just easy throws to Lockett, little out routes, things like that. Then they run, you know, Alex Collins up the middle. He has the 25-yard run, you know, and it was just perfectly timed out. And those two throws that Russ made, and then he ends up not finding anybody, gets sacked for a safety. I'm sorry, that was a safety.
They got a break there. They got two big breaks, one and the Julio Jones
touchdown. The Julio Jones thing was ridiculous to me. I mean, that's a touchdown. So you can complain if you're Tennessee, and if they lost that game, I would be complaining about that, because that was a four-point, you know, turnaround right there. So, yeah, and then, you know, with Russ, that's the end of the game right there. They end up winning anyway, but that was a mystery to me how they marked him at the one-yard line.
It's like they might have blown the whistle the second he got touched.
Yeah.
It's like, play's dead.
Right. So, you know, it was just weird, the throws over to the left sideline, and it was like DK was over there a couple times, I think Lockett one time. But, I mean, there were checkdowns. There were easier throws available. And in the Indianapolis game, I saw Russ have a chance to throw the deeper ball, but he chose the check down. There was one where DK was open. You know, it would have been a tougher throw, but he just chose to dump it off to Carson or dump it off to Disley. And, you know, instead, that just all went away. And all of a sudden, it was like, we're back with our offense that we had last year.
Yep.
So, you know, and I get the concept of going 3-by-1. You isolate DK Metcalf on the one side and, you know, let him make a play, but those throws weren't even close. And then, you know, and I probably jinxed myself, but I said, Russ has never looked desperate or out of control or like, you know, he didn't know where to go with the ball. And that, you saw the look in his eyes. It was like he was confused.
Yep.
So anyway, that's where I go back to that part. You're right. The defense giving up 33 points, certainly. I mean, there's times where I just don't know what our linebackers are reading. And, you know, they kind of, you know, had got it later on, but, like, weren't attacking the line of scrimmage necessarily. And then, you know, when the offensive linemen stand up, if I don't care if a running back is faking or whatever, when the linemen stand up, that's a pass.
Yeah.
There's no point in taking two or three steps towards the line of scrimmage. You know, you instantly bail out. And then they start doing that. And then they start hitting the checkdowns, Tennessee did. So, you know, I just thought, I was trying to explain it on Jake and Stacy earlier, and they're like, yeah, thanks for breaking it down. I go, yeah, I don't think I helped much. I don't really understand exactly what was going on. But it was like, it was just to me, more than in any loss I can remember, a tip-your-cap moment to the Tennessee Titans. This was a team that was totally beat up. You know, we had Mike Keith on, the radio guy, and last week, and he came over into the booth, and he's like, oh, yeah, this guy's scratched, and that guy's scratched. I mean, game day, they scratched Jayon Brown. He's the middle linebacker who has the green dot, which means the D coordinator talks to him, which is it Bowen, the defensive coordinator? I thought he did a great job. But, I mean, you know, he was out. You know, they had Derek Roberson, their pass rusher, was out. You know, they had a bunch of guys that they were fitting in there. There was injuries. Bud Dupree, who they paid $16 million in the offseason, didn't really do anything. But it was more the other guys, like Denico Autry. There's a household name. Jeffrey Simmons. I mean, these guys all got it done. They were physical. They just hung in there. And I thought that they kind of punched the Seahawks in the mouth.
They did.
They
did.
They did.
There was a punch thrown. A punch landed. And Seahawks came out on the short end of this, to say the very least. We'll get to the good, the bad, and the ugly here in a moment, but I just want to play this cut, and you were referencing this. You know, Russell in overtime, they go three and out in their one possession. Here's what – for Pete Carroll, Pete never rips a player. He just doesn't. It's not what he does. This might be about as close as he gets.
I thought Russ took advantage of the game well until we had a play action pass, and I wish we could control the ball and check the ball down there. Took a shot at Tyler, and then we went up to DK on second down, and then our opportunity escapes us right there, and they get the ball inside the 40. So that sequence was the one. I wish Russ could have helped us there, just made completions for us. We needed to just move the ball there and change the field position at least in overtime, because you're playing field goal right there, and unfortunately we didn't get it done.
It's about as close as he'll get to calling anybody out, specifically Russell, saying, hey, I wish Rush could have helped us there. I'm talking about the checkdowns.
Well, and there in the flat was Chris Carson, and it was kind of like last year. I'm trying to remember. I think it was Carlos Hyde in the Giant game where Russ just missed him, but it was a similar type of throw, just a little flare route, just a little out route by Carson where you could have hit him about 4 yards down the field. He easily gets 12 yards. And didn't hit that. Then the next one, Tyler Lockett was on a crosser, dragging across the middle of the field, probably about 7 yard throw right there. He probably could have turned it up and gotten you 10, 15, and then it would have looked more like that end of half drive. And they never got to that. And next thing you know, they're backed up and then Russ gets sacked.
All right, let's go through the good, the bad, and the ugly here. Do we have a theme song? Do we have an open any of that? You want to just sing it, Lefko?
Wah, wah, wah.
You guys will do it much better than I can.
So. I guess that'll have to do until we get some real production. But, all right, here's what I put for the good. You tell me if I missed anything or you disagree. For the good, obviously the first half the offense was outstanding. They had 223 total yards. They put up 24 points. Russell Wilson in the half, 11 of 15, 191 yards and a touchdown. Tyler Lockett had 3 catches on 4 targets, 122 yards and a touchdown. The defense, as much as I felt like they were getting lucky, but they were bending, really bending, but they weren't breaking, holding them to field goals, held them to 9 points. And more importantly, they held Henry to 13 carries, 35 yards in that first half. So that was the good. Did I miss anything?
Yeah, you're looking at just general. You're not going players.
A little of both.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I mean, that's accurate. Yeah. Absolutely.
All right, let's get to the bad. All right, so the bad, the second half offense, 176 total yards, 6 total points scored because they missed the extra point. In the second half and overtime combined, 6 points after that first half. So we can talk about adjustments that were made by Tennessee, adjustments that weren't made by the Seahawks. I don't know what happened there. It was bad. The offense was terrible. Second half defense. Titans had 318 yards in the second half, 24 points scored in the second half. That was bad. That was really bad. In fact, you look at it, and again, I know everybody's pointing to fatigue. The offense didn't help them. Look at the first drive. The Tennessee Titans had the ball to start the second half. They drove it right down their throat. That's arrested defense at that point. They went 8 plays, 80 yards, 4 minutes, 23 seconds to open the second half. Had nothing to do with what the offense was or was not doing at that point. That is how the defense opened the second half. They ran it right down your throat. No tight ends. Like they didn't exist in this game. There were 2 targets the entire game to tight ends, and they were both to Gerald Everett. He caught one for 3 yards. That was your tight end involvement in the way of the offense, outside of blocking. I don't know what happened there. I don't understand what happened. They were absent. Run game, Carson had 13 total carries for 31 yards. I didn't think the line was – I thought their pass blocking was pretty solid. I didn't think their run blocking was good. I didn't think it was great in the first game. I thought Carson did a lot on his own in the first game. I didn't think they were great run blocking in this game. 31 yards on 13 carries. As a team, they had a total of 18 carries for 77 yards running the ball. Mm-hmm. Just it was absent. And then the ugly, 10 penalties for 100 yards. Costly one on Jordan Brooks on 4th and 1. You got the false start on Damian Lewis, where I was arguing with people on Twitter saying, oh, they were just trying to draw him off sides. They weren't going to run a play. Well, then why would Damian Lewis jump? And Pete Carroll said as much, I think, this morning, that they were, in fact, going to run a play on fourth and one. It wasn't just trying to get them to jump off. Because if they were just doing that, there's no reason for Damian Lewis to jump at all. He knows they're not running a play. That doesn't even make sense. So that was bad. Trey Flowers missing on that tackle on the Henry run, and then Diggs couldn't bring him down. I mean, I know he's a load. The guy's a beast. He's another one of those guys that doesn't look like he's running very fast,
right?
But he's blowing by guys. Mm-hmm. He takes little tiny steps. He doesn't have long strides. But, yeah, Trey missed it. I think Jamal Adams went inside. Somebody was talking about he should have stayed outside. So as soon as he went inside, Henry came around the back, and Trey Flowers missed the tackle. Diggs missed the tackle, and boom, he's rumbling down the field for a touchdown. And then the missed extra point, which ended up being huge because that would have forced the Titans to go for two after that final touchdown. Based on the way they were playing, they might have made it. But at least you would have forced him into a tougher position than just tying the game with the extra point.
Yeah.
Did I miss anything?
Yeah, that was enough. You through?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm done.
No, well, good. Yeah. I mean, I think there was – I thought as far as special team goes, there was some good and bad. So I'll start there. DJ Dallas, you got to get that guy on the field. You got to watch him on kickoff and punt, and when he's running down, bombing down the field, he is really fun. He was knocking guys down, everything. The bad with the special teams is the punt rush. I mean, you obviously got benefited from the guy running into the kicker, but that guy almost blocked the punt. That's twice now, you know, where you've seen a situation, and I think that's the reason why Dixon ran to the right in Baltimore is because he saw a flash of a blue jersey in the backfield quickly. And then it happens again the other day. So, I mean, that's something that you got to get fixed. And then, obviously, Jason Myers missing the extra point. So that's the bad part there. But the good part on special teams was check out DJ Dallas. I would say the other good thing is I was texting Cliff about this. Alton Robinson just kind of goes wherever he wants to go. It's funny, like, remember the sack by Daryl Taylor last week where, you know, he sets the guy up and then explodes through his shoulder and then hops over him, you know, and it was spectacular. Like, that was like this dynamic pass rush. When you watch Alton Robinson, he just kind of goes wherever he's going to go, and I don't know if he's getting tremendous push on the tackle to get the edge. It's not like he has this unbelievable quickness or anything. Mm-hmm. It's just that it's kind of like Cortez Kennedy. I used to say he just goes wherever he wants to go. Like, nobody's stopping him. And I thought that pass rush really showed up well. That was awesome. You know, so that was the good part. I'm trying to think what else was good. I mean, I didn't like anything really on offense except that two-minute drive. That two-minute drive was fantastic. Well, of course, you got to put Lockett in there because that catch was another type of like a bucket catch, Bob.
Yeah.
Basket catch. And so, you know, I called it that again. But, yeah, he kind of slid down, and it's almost like he loses track of where the ball is.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll also give, you know, a little bit of props to Freddie Swain. I mean, whatever he did to get open, but he ended up having five catches.
He was wide open by about 30 yards. They just forgot he existed. He was invisible.
68-yard touchdown. Rabel and I both were like, where's he throwing that? Oh, there's a guy open down there.
Like he was the official or something.
No,
like,
idea.
Nobody even looked at him. If you're a Titans fan, you had to be pulling your hair out on that play.
Yeah. So anyway, it was that was great. I thought Tyler Lockett, you know, just making those kinds of catches. The bad part is, you know, I think Metcalf really needs to get control of himself. I think, you know, he goes out there, he gets a holding penalty. That could have also been a, you know, got an unnecessary roughness penalty.
Yeah. But they declined that penalty, though. Remember?
Yeah, because
that one didn't actually end up hurting him. Like, we got people going, DK's penalty hurt him. No, it didn't.
No, because they ended up taking, but look, that's something that I think he needs to get in control of his emotions because he wants to crush people. And
well, he's Breno. Remember, Breno was a problem. He would get into it, he'd mix it up with guys, and it would cost the team, and then he finally figured out a way. I remember Pete benching him, talking to him on the bench, and he just had that epiphany, if you will, of how to get under the other team's skin without crossing the line and costing his own team. And he became a benefit. Remember, he was able to get under guys' skin, get them to throw the punch, and he would put the hands up like, whoa, what's going on? And he became an asset.
Right. Well, I think DK's – I think it might be taking him out of his own game a little bit.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's something that needs to get fixed. So, yeah, I mean, and then, you know, the ugly part also is just that last drive in the extra inning there, overtime. I mean, that was terrible. And it looked just exactly like last year. It looked like the Giant game. And that's what bothered me about that Russ he wasn't going through his progressions. He wasn't, you know, looking here, there. He knew where he was going to go. And it was like he was convinced that's where he was going to throw the ball. And it's not very often you say that about Russ. He always does a great job. But, yeah, there was two checkdowns that were open there that he could have hit. And, you know, who knows how the rest of the drive goes. But still, I just think when you're moving it around, I feel like, you know, good things happen when you're thrown to different receivers. You're just thrown to the open guy. And that's always been the thing with Russ. At the end of the game, you go, oh, he had like eight different targets. Well, it's because he throws to the open guy. He doesn't throw to any one guy. And I felt like he's kind of gotten attached to DK and Locke a little bit.
All right, let's take two.
Well, there was some good news in the Mariners organization over the weekend. The Rainiers, AAA West champions after clinching it Saturday night in El Paso on the strength of their seventh straight win. How about this? It's the third title since being affiliated with the Mariners for the Rainiers. The other two, 2001 and 2010.
Congrats to them. How about that? I think our guy Taylor Trammell came up with a big, big moment out there. It says, let's see, the game-winning, championship-clinching, bases-loaded triple by Taylor Trammell.
Love it.
How about that?
Well, and it stands to reason this should happen, right? Because they have one of the best farm systems in Major League Baseball. What are they currently ranked, third or
depending on which publication you look at, they're second, third. Yeah, they're right there.
Yeah, so I love seeing Taylor Trammell. Kind of forgot about him. One of our favorite guys ever. Wouldn't it be great to have him up here on a daily basis and able to talk to him and, you know, hear him interviewed and all that stuff?
It'd be awesome.
I love when he, at the end of interviews, and he gets that big smile and he goes, like he's getting away with something. He goes, go Mariners.
just a good soul.
Well, at his press conference today, Bruce Arians confirmed that the Tampa Bay Bucks have reached out to Richard Sherman to gauge his interest. Now, Tampa put starting cornerback Sean Murphy Bunting on injured reserve last week.
If I'm Sherm, I'm very interested. It's a very good team. Tom Brady's got, what, 9 touchdown passes in the first two games. He's going to threaten Peyton Manning's 55 touchdown mark for a season, perhaps. We'll see, but I don't think teams are knocking down Richard's door at this point. I haven't heard of any other team expressing interest in him. So if he really wants to play, he gets to play for the defending Super Bowl champs and play, period.
Well, and if he wants to be there, just to have him down there in the room. Have you ever seen any of those sessions where he's coaching the young kids?
Yeah.
He's phenomenal. He's a coach waiting to happen. So yeah, that'd be a good move for him. And after all the stuff he went through and everything, it'd be kind of nice for him. Hopefully he gets back into it.
All right. Take Two is brought to you by Swedish Cyberknife. Treat prostate cancer with Swedish Cyberknife. Swedish.org/CyberKnifeProstate. Coming up, was it a defensive disaster or just the Derrick Henry effect? We'll talk about that next with Wyman and Bob on 710 ESPN Seattle.
You're listening to Wyman and Bob on 710 ESPN Seattle. Streaming live through the Alaska Airlines studio on the 710 Sports app.
Now, here are your hosts, Dave Wyman and Bob Stelton.
This hour of Wyman and Bob is brought to you by Muckleshoot Casino. Coming up at the top of the hour, the Pete Carroll press conference. As soon as Coach steps up to the podium, we will send you out there and see what he's got to say about this whole thing. See if he's just moved on from it already or if he's still a little annoyed by everything the way everybody else seems to be. But looking at what happened in the second half defensively, we'll just focus on the defense. As I said, they kind of came out first drive of the second half. Titans marched down the field 80 yards. That's before fatigue could have even been brought up as a realistic factor. Derrick Henry was just... Well, he became Derrick Henry. First half, 13 carries, 35 yards. Second half, he did whatever the heck he wanted. And Bobby Wagner was asked about it, and he said basically they just need to find a way to get those stops.
Yeah, it's really frustrating. You know, definitely the standard that we have, you know, and expect of ourselves. You know, again, I think a couple of those drives we hurt ourselves. And so we just got to get out of our own way and find a way to get off the field.
I agree. You got to find a way to get off the field. And then one more before you jump in, Dave. Jamal Adams said, and he brought up what you kind of laugh about at times. Gap integrity. Here's what he had to say about that.
I think it's just going back to the basics and focusing on your job. Everybody doing their assignment, being disciplined, staying gap sound, because we all play a part, all 11 of us. So it's not, you know, an upfront thing. It's not a second level thing or a third level thing. It's a team thing. And as a defense, we were playing phenomenal at the beginning. You know what I mean? And we just didn't finish. We didn't finish, and it hurts.
Gap integrity, Dave. Was that the problem? Is that what changed in the second half from the first half in terms of just Henry specifically? Because it was two different players. It was two different results.
Yeah.
Both very extreme. 35 yards versus 1,000 yards in the second half.
Yeah. Well, I'm looking at like his first carry, 11 yards, 3 yards, 4 yards. Then it was minus 2, but this is the second half. Then 2 yards. So, I mean, they just always stick with him. You know, that's the thing. They never go away from him. And, you know, I don't know if that's, you know, is Chris Carson that kind of guy? He sort of is to me, because like what you were saying with Derrick Henry, I think his biggest asset is that he's tough.
Mm-hmm.
Like he's very well put together, obviously, because he takes lots of hits, but he just is able to keep going. And I feel like that's the thing. They just stick with him no matter what. You know, and they're going to give him his carries, and they're going to wear you down.
Yeah, 35 carries in this game.
I know, and you know, I remember 35.
Chris Carson had 13.
Right, and one time, remember they ran Chris Carson for I think 32 carries, and he wasn't able to go the next week. This is back in 2019, I think. But yeah, that's the thing with him. He just, it's his toughness, and it's about what their thing is. They're going to. This is a good team, man. I mean, I know their offensive line was screwed up, but I mean, Tannehill is a good quarterback. Just the way he was, you know, checking things, and he is in command and control. The way he communicated in a really loud stadium, he did a really good job with that.
Well, we talked about it before the game, and I remember saying, "Listen, I thought the Seahawks would win." And I was like, "We're not going to see the Titans team that played the Cardinals.
Yeah.
They're too low. There's too much talent on the team. To me, the biggest shock would have been if the Seahawks blew him out. And in fact, I was texting with a buddy after the first half. He's like, oh man, this is great. We got this. I'm like, nah, I don't think we do, man. This is going to get closer than you think. I didn't think they'd lose it, but it's just, you knew that a team with that much ability was not going to repeat what they did in week one. And we were talking about, I don't know what happened in that game. Was it gap integrity? Was it this? Was it that?
Yeah.
Was it, you know, just lack of discipline? But he didn't realistically expect to see that version of the Titans this weekend.
Right. But, you know, to answer the question, it is always about gap integrity or somebody getting beat at the point of attack or somebody being backside in a gap that you're supposed to hold. I mean, look, even if a play goes away, you know, you are still in charge of the gap or the area. This is what we used to do with, I remember Barry Sanders. I think we held Barry to like 30 yards or something, 30 yards rushing. And then, you know, I think he had a screen and, you know, whatever. We ended up beating the Lions. But Barry Sanders, all week, it was like, if you have the A-gap and he is running outside, stay in your A-gap. It's like in Top Gun. I'm not leaving my wingman.
Right.
Do not leave your wingman. Stay in the A-gap. He will come back to you. And sure enough, and Tom Catlin, our defensive coordinator, he harped on that all week. And then in the game, it happened. Because he would come all the way back inside and you'd make a tackle in your gap because you stayed there. What he tries to get you to do is over-pursue, and then he cuts back. But, you know, for Derrick Henry, he's just so powerful at the point of attack. He's just going to lean on you, and just they're just committed to constantly running him, and they'll just wear you down. And so, you know, and that's the thing with, you know, I'm not always sure exactly how our linebackers are playing. You know, I mean, I'm not exactly sure. Like, they don't necessarily come up and just smash guards at the point of attack. It's like with Bobby, a lot of times they just play him back. Like, he'll go sideways and, you know, a lot of times not even get involved in the tackle if it's, you know, up 2 yards. Like, they're not just flying to the ball. They're kind of just
kind of waiting for them to come to them.
Keeping them pinned in or something. Yeah. So, yeah, I'm really not sure how they're playing their linebackers. And, you know, Brooks, he didn't have a great game either. You know, and typically I'll say
bench for a little bit.
Yeah, well, and that was because of the, you know, when he shoved the guy down. But you know, also he had a couple of struggles. They also both, I felt like they weren't really reading their keys very well early on, because again, when the guys all stand up, it's a pass. You got to bust your tail out of there and then start doing it. And Bobby did a fantastic job on a couple of those, picking up the deep crossers
right
after, you know, getting not fooled, but like he took a step towards the line of scrimmage, sees it's not a run, and then turns and runs and looks it up, but a couple of times he didn't. And then they start bailing out of there, and then they start checking it down to Derrick Henry, and they're just committed to him because, you know, he also, you know, is available for check downs. And you get a guy like that, a three-yard pass, and he's in space, he's going to get another four.
One more here quickly before the break, and I think I asked you about these guys, saying, you know, where was Dunlap? Where was Taylor? Where was Mayoa? We just didn't hear their names called. Here's Pete talking about that.
Well, those are the couple things, but third down situations, you know, that's when those guys are really featured, you know, to come off the sidelines to get in if they're not in the rotation at the time. You know, like in that last drive, I think they had one third down in that drive, you know, in their big drive, and that just happened some to us. But they did some substituting that we wanted to slow down our substitutions. We were trying to match with them, and they were doing a nice job of going quick, and so we slowed down our subs. That was part of it. And then also, you know, I called on Darrell a couple times, and he didn't have the same kind of game he had the week before. You know, he wasn't quite as active, and so we were just rolling guys to see if somebody was going to get hot on the pass rush.
Yeah, so saying Darrell Taylor, he called on him a few times, just didn't have the impact. And he's a guy, you know, I was asking you, hey, did I miss anything? Because I just didn't hear his name called, didn't see him flash at all. He's also a guy I'm looking at going, this is his rookie year. I know he was drafted last year. He didn't play a moment. This is his rookie year, so I expect a little – up and down, a little uneven play from him as he gets acclimated to this level of play. So I guess I kind of give him a little bit of a pass as compared to somebody with the experience of Dunlap or Mayoa. But I guess if they're not even part of that rotation, as Pete was saying, hey, we were slowing it down and, you know, they were speeding up, so we were trying to match them, and that's why they didn't get in. I can't expect them to make plays when they're not even being put on the field.
Yeah, yeah. I saw him try to turn the corner a couple times, just didn't get home. So, you know, and then Rasheem Green, who played really well last week, I just saw in one play, I think I sent it to you, Bob, but, you know, it looked like maybe Bobby should have come over the top of a block, but also Rasheem Green got sealed, you know, in his gap. So, again, it's always about, you know, who has the A gap, the B gap, the C gap, and those gaps move as the play goes. So, you know, it's sometimes hard to tell, but, yeah, it's always, look, every defensive play, you know, unless your defensive coordinator is insane, you have every gap covered, and you know it should stop every run if you do your job.
Right.
But they just weren't winning at the point of attack.
All right, coming up, it was a bad weekend for fans of a guy who likes to eat wins. He likes to eat wins. All right.
Yeah, I know who you're talking about.
We're gonna go around the best and worst of the NFL. That's coming your way next with Wyman and Bob on 710 ESPN Seattle.
You're listening to Wyman and Bob on 710 ESPN Seattle. Streaming live through the Alaska Airlines studio on the 710 Sports app.
Now, here are your hosts, Dave Wyman and Bob Stelton.
We got the Pete Carroll press conference coming up at the top of the hour, so stay tuned for that. But we get a chance to take a little look around the NFL, some of the good, the bad, the ugly of the rest of the league. And there was a lot of it, Dave. There was a lot of it. Now, if you're a Bills fan, it was all beautiful. It was all good. Is they absolutely dismantled the Dolphins 35-0.
Yeah, and then Tua gets carted off as well, right?
Yeah, hurt his ribs.
Yeah.
Second worst home shutout loss ever. That's what Lefko gave us?
Yeah. Home shutout. That's a well coached team too. Brian Flores does a good job. 10-6 last year, missed the playoffs, but yeah, it shouldn't have gone like that. But you know, Buffalo getting beat at home by Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
You know, last week. So,
yeah.
And then they go on the road and, you know, take care of business.
Yeah, that was, I mean, not surprising. Buffalo's a good team. I've just never been a Tua believer. I like him a lot. I think he's a great kid, great personality. I just don't know if he's has the potential to be an elite quarterback in this league. But we'll see. So he gets dinged up. They get railed. Baltimore and the Chiefs. That was a good game last night.
That was so fun to watch.
That was entertaining. But it feels like the primetime games, whether we're talking about Monday night, Sunday night, what have you, so far early in the season, they've been good.
Well, the Monday night football game was fantastic.
Yeah.
Went into overtime. But, yeah, that game last night was two ridiculous talents and just so unorthodox, not playing like, you know, your typical, you know, the quarterback setting up and getting his shoulders square, throwing the ball. Yep. I mean, what about the jump pass by Lamar Jackson? Where, and you know what was funny to me? I was kind of mad at, I can't remember who the receiver was, but he goes down into the end zone and is jumping around like, look at me. And I'm like, the guy who threw that ball to you made the most incredible play to avoid a sack and then just jump and throw. I mean, it was like one of those old. I remember I had a picture of Jack Kemp. Remember Jeff Kemp's dad who played for the Buffalo Bills? And there's a picture of him jumping in the air and throwing the ball like that used to be a thing. And it was like kind of old school. But even his hips were turned the wrong way.
Yeah.
Lamar Jackson. So, yeah, I loved watching both of those quarterbacks. So
well,
much fun.
And Lamar, to his credit, rallied from a not-so-good night. It wasn't a great night, statistically speaking. I mean, he had two picks, one touch, 18 of 26, 239, two picks and a touchdown, but ran for 107 yards, ran for two touchdowns. I mean, the guy's just a weapon. And if you're a Chiefs fan, you know, Patrick Mahomes receives praise that he's deserving of. Around the league. I mean, he's just thought of, if he's not the best, he's going to be the best. He's one of the greats. But then you see him make a play where he's got too much faith in his ability. As he was being tackled and going down, he just flips the ball up.
Yeah.
He just flipped it, and it lands in the arms of a Raven. And you're going, dude, what are you doing, man?
Yeah.
What was that?
Well, I think that, you know, Russ and probably Lamar Jackson, guys like that, I think they fall prey to that because, look, you make plays like that sometimes. I mean, that's the thing with Russ. Sometimes it's better for him to just throw it away. But then you go, well, there's always a chance that he makes an unbelievable throw. Yesterday, but real quick, remember the crossing pattern in the end zone where Tyler Lockett's running, you know, from left to right, and then Russ is running, and Russ missed him?
Yeah.
I was, like, shocked because, you know, that's a really difficult throw. So, of course, you know, there's a pretty good chance you're going to miss that throw. But I'm so used to Russ making that play.
Right.
And so I think that's where – you know, that's why, you know, Mahomes does those kinds of things, because both of them, you know, him and Lamar Jackson and Russ, you know, they just make these spectacular plays that you come to sort of bank on when sometimes you probably should just throw it
Mahomes,
away.
Mahomes flipped it up there, and I'm just like, dude, what was that, man?
Yeah.
What are you doing? But anyway, good game last night. Tampa Bay wins 48-25. They beat the Falcons, who do not look good at all. They're 0-2. Tom Brady throws five touchdown passes. He's got nine touchdown passes in two games. He's going to get old one day. One day, Dave, Jim Moore has told me he's not going to be good at some point, and I think he'll be right eventually.
Yeah.
But he's ridiculous right now. Rest of the NFC West, they're all 2-0 except for the Seahawks now.
Didn't the Vikings miss a field goal at the end?
Yeah, Vikings blew a 20-7 lead against the Cardinals and then missed a last-second game-winning field goal, 35-yard field goal.
All right.
Missed it. The Saints, hey, remember when Jameis Winston was cured and fixed last week?
Yes.
And everybody said, you see, you don't know what you're talking about. He's great. He put up the worst quarterback rating of his entire career. And I think if we're being honest, we don't put much into quarterback ratings. It's still hard to figure out exactly how they come up with these numbers. Having said that, I would have thought his worst would have been years ago. He's throwing up some big duds in Tampa Bay. Interesting that this is his worst quarterback rating of his entire career, but apparently it was. The Saints just get hammered by the Panthers. 126 total yards. Jameis Winston threw for 111 yards, two interceptions, and four sacks.
111 yards only. Yeah, it's well, and then on the other side, I was kind of happy to see Christian McCaffrey back. You know, the Panthers and my buddy Scott Fitterer. Oh, he's my neighbor, Bob. Was my neighbor, the new GM of Carolina. doing, you know, Sam Darnold, 26 of 38 for 300 yards, two touchdowns. And then I think McCaffrey combined had like 135, 140 yards. So nice to see him back after the injury. But, yeah, Jameis, we'll see.
We got to play the clip.
I'll tell you what, next week he's probably going to light it up. And, yeah, play the –
We got to play this. I can't believe you haven't heard this.
For whatever reason, I didn't know what your time. I've never seen or heard this clip.
I'm going to pass it to corn after I say one thing.
Let's go.
That's a W. Let's eat one. Let's eat one. That's a W.
How many people want to eat a W tonight?
I'm going to eat a W tonight.
Yeah. Come in. That's man. All I want.
eat a W.
Not me. Not no me. Thanks.
Did you wash your hand before you did that, Jameis? Yeah, it's Lefko was imitating it, describing it. Sounds disgusting.
So you put your two middle finger, your ring finger and your middle finger together.
You cross those over each other.
Out,
and
have
then,
a hard time with this.
Yeah.
And then he puts it in his mouth. Now, remember, quarterbacks, he was probably practicing and warming up. They have their hands up inside the business of the center. And sometimes there's, well, if it's Mark Schlereth, we know that there's splashy as he emptied his entire bladder.
Oh.
And then he put that in his mouth. And so, like, how many people want to eat a W? I was like, no, thanks.
I would have tapped out. I'm good. They're all for you.
Good.
You go ahead and take that.
That was really weird when he did that.
Well, and then, Lefko, what'd you say the result of that game was?
Oh, they lost 30-10.
Ah. Somebody else ate the W that day, and it wasn't him. Was not him. All right, coming up, we're going to go out to the VMAC, hear what Pete Carroll has to say. That's coming your way next with Wyman and Bob on 710 ESPN Seattle.